You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
You know, my name is Casey Esmond. For those who don't know me, my wife and I, we serve in the metro region. So it's good to be here with you guys and experience and worship God together. And I hope you guys are excited to hear the word of God. Let me try that again. I hope you are excited to hear the word of God this morning. That's more like it. As a matter of fact, turn to your neighbor and just give him a high five and say, I'm grateful to see you here. Amen. So, as I was told, you all are still going through the book of John, which is an incredible book. The Metro, we're actually going through the kingdom of God. You know, and it's incredible that we can stick to a theme and really learn a lot and see what we can pull out of it, right? And not be jumping around, but stay homed in on a theme or a topic. So it's really cool that you all been going through the book of John. And I hope that you've been learning a lot from the book of John. I know last week, CJ preached about the adulterous woman. Did a great job with that. I was able to check that out. So I was tasked to speak on chapter 8, verses 12 through 59. So I'm going to go ahead and pick up reading. But as you can see here on the screen, if it's up there, I don't know if you can see my screen, the title of my lesson this morning is Walking in the Way of What? Amen. So I'm going to keep asking you guys to say, and when you're going to leave here, you're going to remember. Amen. I like that. I like participation. So I don't feel like it's just me up here and you all are just staring at me. You know, so it's good to have some crowd participation. Amen. And because this scripture is so long and lengthy, I'm just going to go ahead and just kind of pull out two verses from the scripture, which is a pretty knowing verse. I'm sure we all have heard it before. But even before I share that, I wanted to just kind of give a quick review on what's taking place before I get to that scripture. Can I do that? And I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I really want to encourage you all to go back and read in your time, have your quiet time, and because this is such great stuff here in this passage. And there's so much we can learn from this passage. And it starts off from verse 12, and Jesus is telling everyone or the audience that he is the light of the world, right? Isn't that amazing to understand that Jesus is the light of the world? You know, when we think about light, what do we think about? The sun, right? Something powerful, something that we can't even look at without burning our eyes, right? But Jesus is the true light of this world. Then you go ahead and jump down to verse 21, and Jesus is predicting his death and his return to his Father. And then jump down to verse 31. And again, right, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but this is where we're actually going to home in here on verse 31 through 32, truth and freedom. And Jesus promised truth and freedom to his believers and to all of us, right? Do you believe in that promise? And if you read down in verse 48, Jesus talks about, or the Jews actually was trying to accuse Jesus, but Jesus, he keeps it real. He pretty much checks them and tells him that he belongs to his Father as his Father belongs to him, right? So what we're going to do, right, we're going to pick up here in verse 31. And I got to get used to these slides. It'd be like tripping me out because it's two of them. But I'm working on it, amen? And I'm going to blame Michael, if anything. No, I'm just kidding. But in John chapter 8, 31, we're going to pick up reading here. And it says, to the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. Almost caught you guys there. But then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Amen. Let's give it up for the truth one time. Let's clap it up for the truth. Right? It's just amazing that we have a God that teaches us the correct way of living, right? The world teaches us so differently about the truth, but we have a God that really teaches us truth. What is truth? The real truth, right? So why is truth important? Right? Why is it important? As disciples, it's essential for us. It's who we're supposed to be. As a matter of fact, it's who Jesus is. It's healthy. It's honorable. It's trustworthy. It's essential. It builds good character. You know, in fact, truth is mentioned in the book of John 23 times, right? So truth is very important to John, as it is important to Jesus, right? Truth is the way of life. It's who we are. And what is the opposite of truth? Lies, right? Because lies, it's destructive. It ruins marriages. It damages friendships. It ruins families. Leads to more lies. It creates distrust. But, there you go. Truth empowers, brings us closer to God, builds confidence, brings justice, changes lives for the good. But lies separates us from God. We know that scripture in Isaiah. It blinds us from the actual truth. And we miss out on God's blessings. And truth, it creates trust. It's reliable. It's integrity. It strengthens relationship. Truth is powerful. Lies shatters. No trust, no security. Guess what? No happiness. How do you feel about lies? In fact, how do you feel when someone lies to you? What do you do? How do you feel about when you're lying to others? And I'm sure many of us hate being lied to. But how do you think God feels? You know, what upsets me the most is when someone lies to me. And doesn't keep it honest. Don't keep it, how should we say, 100? Right? But how do you think God feels? I feel betrayed, you know, especially when it comes from someone that I love, someone that I trust. How do you think God feels? But truth builds trust. Speak truth, live truth equals true happiness. Do you value truth? Do you value it? Even when it hurts, even when it makes you look bad. I always tell myself it's better to be honest than to look good. Living a honest and truthful life is our way of life. And I just love this Greek term that I love so much, and it's called ethos. And it basically means, how do we live? How do we practice our normal life? Our way of living, how do we conduct ourselves, right? So the question is, how do we practice truth? Is it part of us? Is it our way of life? You know, I really love this quote right here. And it says, truth is so obscured in these times and falsehood so established that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it. We must love the truth. It's not like how we love the donuts and the coffees. You know, sometimes we love it, sometimes we don't, right? No, we must love the truth. In fact, there's a scripture here I would like to share with you, Revelation 21:8. And it says, but the coward, the unbelieving, the veiled, the murderous, the sexual immorality, those who practice magic arts, the adulterers, all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I mean, sometimes scriptures just brings it home for us, right? Lies is a part of that list that we just read, and God will reject it. And truthfulness is very important to inherit eternal life, to be able to be with God one day, right? When you hear that word, well done, my good and faithful servant. So hearing about all this, lies and truth, what do you think is most important? Truth. Well, I'm not trying to trick you all, right? It's very important. In fact, we're going to go ahead and read in John. I wanted to just keep the verse 32, but I decided, hey, let's go back and read verse 31. And it said, to the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Right? Who's he speaking to? Those who believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that you are his disciples? No, he said if, right? Not maybe, but if you hold to my teachings. Well, what is the teachings of Jesus? The kingdom of God? This is just my list. You might have a different list, right? But the kingdom of God, love and forgiveness, compassion and kindness, prayer, humility and service, right? And he says, you are really my disciples if you hold to my teachings. And I actually have a few different verses up here. Different version of the Bible up here, which is probably pretty cool. And the NASB says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And the AMPC says, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. If you stick with this, live out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Oh, and that's in the MSG, by the way. One of my favorites. All right, so there's a conditional phrase here. To be a disciple of Jesus, what must we do? Hold to his teachings. Amen? Do you know what that means? Hold to his teachings? You know, I have a two-year-old. I'm going to ask one of you to try to take a lollipop out of her hand. She is not letting that thing go. Amen? And Jesus tells us to hold to his teaching. Have a tight grip. Don't let go. Don't let anything stray you away from the word of God. Amen? Hold on to it. Don't let go. Every day, even when it's hard, hold on to it. Even when you're upset, hold on to it. Even when you are discouraged, hold on to it. Even when you want to give up. I mean, there's a lot of craziness happening in this world. And there might be a lot of craziness that's happening in our lives as well. Sometimes we just want to throw in the towel. But we must hold to the teachings of Jesus. Holding to his teachings, and his teachings are holding us. How do we hold to the teachings of Jesus? Thank you for asking. Reading your Bibles. Pretty simple, having a quiet time, not once in a while, but being consistent, right? Making sure you're having your time with God, believing, obeying, not only believing, but obeying and doing what the scriptures are calling you to do, applying it and living it out. And when we hold to the teachings of Jesus, his teachings hold us too. Amen? It also strengthens us. Deepen our relationship with Jesus when we are reading our Bibles and having our time with them. And in that, I think Steve mentioned this in the welcome, we find peace and joy, but I put purpose. We find purpose. You commit to do what the Bible tells you to do. Now, my mom would always tell me, I'm your mother, and you better listen to me. I'm like, go in your room. I'm like, yeah, mom, I'm going to listen. God is our Father, and we listen to what he says through the Bible. Why? He says, because you are really my disciples. You know, I've learned to cook from my grandmother and from my mother. And they taught me how to cook our traditional dishes from my country. I'm actually from Guyana. I was born in St. Lucia, but I grew up in Guyana before I came to the United States. And my grandmother and my mom would teach me how to cook. So one day I decided, you know, I'm going to go ahead and cook one of our famous national dishes by myself. You know, and they don't play with that. Don't mess it up. But I did it by myself. I made it without my mom. She came and tasted it. And you know what she said? You are really my son. I'm like, amen, mom. Thank you. Thanks for clearing that up for me. Right? Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then he goes on saying, then you will know the truth, and the truth will maybe set you free. No, the truth will set you free, right? We know the truth by holding to the teachings of Jesus by reading, by obeying the word, by studying out the word of God, and by putting his word into practice, right? We know this truth. We are disciples. And if you're here for the first time and you want to know the truth, reach out to somebody. I know they have a booth back there to where you could go and get some more information. But you even have the opportunity to know the truth. And we as disciples, we know the truth, right? In fact, that word there is a pretty interesting word, know. And the Greek word for that is gnosko, which basically means to have to learn through experience, right? And I think about my walk with God. In fact, I think about walking so close to God that I'm holding his hands and he's guiding me. Learning through experience, learning through reading your word, where now you have this tight relationship with God and his word is guiding you through truth, right? So there's a scripture here in Hebrews 5:14. It said, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil, right? So I think, man, you know, when I'm walking with God, I'm learning, I'm maturing, I'm able to tell right from wrong. I'm able to, as the scriptures say, distinguish good from evil, lies from truth, right? You will know right from wrong. In John 4:23, it says, yet a time is coming. Is that up? It says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers of, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in what? Truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Love that scripture. Then it says, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. I'm going to tell Steve to buy some extra donuts and bagels next week for you guys. You know, God seeks for us to be not only to worship him in spirit, but also to worship him in truth. It's our way of life. You know, yeah, we up here, I mean, let's give it up for the song ministry, why don't we? They do an incredible job to encourage our soul and to help us to really connect with God on an intimate worshiping level. But when we do not speak truth, are we really worshiping God? We must worship God in spirit and in truth. Being honest about your life, being honest about your sin, getting open. You should have someone in your life where you can talk to and to get open. We have a God that loves us so much that he provides us this way to get open and to get right. Amen? Be honest about your weaknesses and your mistakes. Be authentic. Admit when you are wrong. You know, my grandma used to tell me, do not pretend to be someone you're not. Right? Always be honest about yourself. God loves you. God loves who you are. We're all different, amen? Let's be honest about ourselves and where we are at. Honest is not an easy thing. It may hurt. It may even make you look bad, but it makes your Father in heaven proud. In Colossians 3:9, it says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. The Bible calls us to not even lie to one another. This is who we used to be. But now, guess what? We are a new creation, amen? We don't live the old way we used to, right? What is our old self? Don't tell me. Don't tell me what your old self. I know it's some crazy stories out there. But what is your new self? A new creation. Truth matters. Truth is treasured. Everyone wants more of it. It builds trust. It's real. It's authentic. It provides us a way to move forward. Because you can feel stuck if you're not honest. But like I said, it can be hard. It can be embarrassing. You know, I remember when I was studying the Bible and I had to create the sin list. I'm like, oh my gosh. I need another paper. I don't want the guys who were studying the Bible to see how bad I was or all the bad things I've done. But let me tell you, writing that down, being set free from all that craziness, someone knowing my past and not judging me, man, it was freeing, let me tell you. You know, it felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulder. You know, truth is important. Science built their careers searching for it. Philosophers spent decades searching for the truth. Actually, people pay good money to find out the truth about things, right? Before you buy something, you want to know the truth, right? Do you just willingly buy something and not know if it works, right? Does it make me taller, right? Does it make me lose weight in 14 days, 10 days, 5 days? If it doesn't, I don't want it. Put it back. Even before we commit to something, we want to know the truth. But the most important thing is, this is who Jesus is. Truth is Jesus, and Jesus is truth. And truth is our way of life. What does it do? It sets us free. Truth will set us free. I remember when I came to the States, we moved to Brooklyn, New York, and lived there for a little bit, got into a lot of trouble. Then my mom uprooted us and moved us to East Orange, New Jersey. And I remember just wanting to kind of fit in because we were moving so much. And I just wanted to fit in. I felt so different from everyone else because I was from a different country. I talked different. I looked different. And I just wanted to fit in. So I remember going into my parents' bedroom to use my dad's cologne, you know, to freshen up a little bit. And on the counter was his wallet. And sticking out was $10. What do you think I did? What do you think I did? Anyone? Mark said I took it. Wow, no faith in your brother up here, right? Nah, I totally took that $10, man. Man, I took that $10 and ran out that house so fast. I remember waiting for the bus and my cousin, and I was like, hey, bro, guess what? I got 10 bucks. Now, back then, 10 bucks was a lot of money. I was only in the sixth grade or seventh grade at the time. And I remember and back in the East Coast, we would call stores, we used to call it corner stores, where it had all the good candies. And back then, it would be all out in the front of your picking. You could pick whatever you want. And they were about 25 cents, right? So $10 could go a long way. So I remember telling everybody, or my cousin actually was yelling, Casey got $10, Casey got $10. And I'm like, let's all go to the store. And I'm balling right now, you know, I'm feeling good. And we went to the store and I'm like, you get whatever you want. They had Nalettas for 25 cents. They had those little Yoo-hoo drinks, whatever it's called, for 50 cents. I'm like, get whatever you want. You get a candy, you get a now later. I'm feeling good. And I brought all my friends stuff. So long story short, I came home and I was feeling super guilty. And I was on edge. I remember when I got into my room, my mom called me and I jumped. And I said, I didn't do it. And she's like, I'm just asking you to take out the trash. I'm like, whew. And then my dad got home, and they're in the living room, and they're talking, and my dad mentioned to my mom, I think I lost 10 bucks. Man, my heart was pumping so fast, it felt like it was just going to pop out of my chest. And then the next morning on my way to school, this is what really got me. My dad called me, and he goes, do you need lunch money? I'm like, I'm good. He said, no, take this, and guess how much he gave me? $10. Oh my, man, that walk to school was brutal. And I remember I couldn't even function. We were out in the playground. I'm sitting like a sad little puppy on the side, just feeling like, man, I'm just hurting. I'm stuck. I don't feel great. So I ended up going back home and I confessed and told my dad, and he goes, I knew you took the money. I'm thinking like, oh man, you could have, you know, spare me all this craziness. He said, I wanted you to come out and tell me. And I believe that's how God operates, right? He doesn't want to judge us, right? He wants to welcome us to openness, to truth, amen? And it's a life lesson learned that when we are embracing truth, we're free from all the lies that hinder us, that holds us back from our relationship with God. I mean, look at this picture right here. We can't do both. We can't claim to carry our cross, but then live in lies and dishonesty. It will hold us back. Amen? We must break free from that. Why? Because the word of God is what will set us free. Free from what? From the devil lies? You know? When you think, man, I'm worthless. The truth is, you are so valuable that God sent his one and only son to die on the cross so you can live life and live it to the full. Man, I just want to give up. Truth is to persevere. Why? Because it builds character. It makes you better for the next, maybe the next challenge that arises. You're ready to take it on. I just want to pull away. The truth is to, no, stay connected. We need each other. If you look around you, we need each other, amen? We're not supposed to do this alone. I just want to turn away. No, turn to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I'm not good enough. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I am alone. No, God is with you always. I will never be free. Do you feel like that? But guess what? God sets you free from sin and from darkness. And I always have to remind myself of these things because there's times, man, you know, I feel like I'm not making an impact. You know, I'm serving full-time in the metro region. There's times where I can feel like, man, am I really making an impact? Is God really using me? And when I tend to think that way, I pull back. I shrink back. My attitude is different. But I have to constantly remind myself that God loves you. You are here for a reason. God picked you to serve his people. And God will use you. So sometimes we have to remind ourselves about that as well. You know, I heard this saying. I actually don't even remember, but it's been in my notes for years. And I don't remember where I've got it from. But it says the devil will take a little bit of what we think is truth and mix it with a toxic lie. And sometimes that can seem believable. But it's not the truth. Why? Because God loves you. Look to someone next to you and say, God loves you. And we have to remind each other too, amen? God loves you. Look how excitement brought to that when someone tells you God loves you, right? And Jesus, he really wants us to know that. And I want to go ahead and read the scripture because the Jews questioned Jesus and they asked, they said, we are Abraham's descendants. And we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free. Indeed, who will set us free is our Father in heaven. Sometimes we want to belong to something. We want to feel like, man, you know, we are a part of something. Right? We're a part of the kingdom of God. That should mean something. That should motivate us to live out truth and to help others to live that out as well. Truth matters. Thank you. I'm just trying to find my scripture. Okay, so I don't think I put it on here. But anyways, let me go back. Thank you. Just bear with me 1 second. Yes. Was that what was up before? Oh, man, you guys are like, this guy is reading something else. Okay, so this is the scripture. Again, I'm trying to figure out this. But this is the next scripture I would like to share with you in John 44. And it says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. Wow, that just gives me chills. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you provide me guilt of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God, here's what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Man, sometimes again, scriptures just set us straight. And my question to you is, who do you belong to? Do you belong to the father of lies, or do you belong to the father of truth? Because Jesus is truth. He loves truth. He's calling us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And God wants spiritual people to live out the truth. It's a part of worship. It's a part of who we are. That's who the Holy Spirit is calling us to be. Does truth matter?
Yes.
Are you sure? Yes. Does truth matter?
Yes.
Yes, it does. Does walking in the way of truth matter? Yes. Jesus is the truth. We know the scripture in John 14:6 that says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you reflect truth? Does your life reflect the truth? You know, when you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see truth? It's a way. It's our way of life. It's our ethos. And I'm just going to close out. As I start closing out, we're going to get into some questions. But in John 18:37, Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason why I was born and came into the world is to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." How do we hear the truth? We listen to God. If we claim to belong to the truth, we must listen to God. Amen? So let us love the truth. Let us embrace the truth. And let us walk in truth. I have some discussion questions here. CJ said, make sure you have some discussion questions or don't even come back. I'm like, okay. No, he didn't say that. He's actually not here. I shouldn't say that. He's not here. But I'm totally kidding. So we're going to take 2 minutes, right? And I'm going to come back up and pray us out for communion. And the question is, what does it mean to hold to Jesus' teachings? And how can we apply his teachings to our daily lives? So try to stick around in your area so when we come back, we can quickly pray for communion. So 2 minutes. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and prepare our hearts for communion. Dear God, as we come humbly before you, God, we ask that you love us so much, God, that we feel it. God, as we prepare to take communion and we prepare our hearts to partake in communion, the breaking of the bread and drinking from the fruit of the vine, God, that our minds are cleared from anything and it's just focused on you, knowing that you are truth and you guide us through truth. You died so that we can have truth. So God, just thank you so much, Father, for loving us and providing us and giving us grace. And we thank you so much, Father, for who you are. So let us remember the greatness that you have done for us, the sacrifice that you have done for us, and to continue to be with us. In your son's holy, precious name I pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.